Hopefully that will, can you hear me all right with that? All right, I like to move around. I'll see if it works. If it doesn't, we'll get rid of it along the way. So I am so grateful to be here. And like Barb said, we feel like we're coming home. And it's a joy to be with you. It's always a joy to see Mike and Diane. Some of you may not know that when Mike got saved here at Pequot Lakes Baptist Church, God called him into ministry to study. And he went down to Phoenix, Arizona. And we then were here with Gary. Gary was still there, I think, here when you left, at least the first year. Then Gary left, and we became the interim pastor. I was asked to be senior pastor, but as Todd Trees could tell you, he definitely wasn't ready to do that. And so another pastor came in. We made a commitment to a certain amount of times, and we knew when we were going to leave, but we had no idea where we were going to go. And you guys were praying. Mike told the pastor where he was down in Phoenix. He was running a bus ministry, outreach ministry in a church while studying at Bible school. And so the week we resigned from here, that pastor called me up. A week later, he called me and said, hey, come down to Phoenix. And we went down to Phoenix. Some of you know, we spent a lot of time in Pakistan, and your new pastor, associate pastor, whatever you call him, Jeff, he spent some time in Afghanistan. So we've been in some similar areas. It's interesting, the pastor said down in Phoenix, anybody been to Phoenix, Arizona? I mean, been there, and you see, and I still remember the pastor driving, and he said, and he looked at one of these mountains, like Camelback Mountain, or one of those ones, and he said, isn't that beautiful? And I saw this bare mountain coming from the green of the north woods of Minnesota, and I thought, well, you know, I can say something polite, but I just said, I don't see it, and that started a great relationship with him, and God blessed. We had a great time down in Phoenix. A lot of people came to the Lord, and there's a guy riding around in a bus that Mike and I had the joy of helping lead to the Lord and disciple. He's riding around with a bus and his wife in Mexico, sharing Jesus with people almost every day of the year. Lupe and his wife Minerva. And still following the Lord. Wonderful people. You guys will have a part in that. You guys have prayed, and that's a wonderful thing. And I think the church is going really well, it seems to be. We're a little hesitant. You have these new members, Jim and Sandy Olson. We're a little bit concerned about them, but you guys will straighten them out. So they're in the front row here. They're their church down in First Baptist down in Minneapolis, and we know them well. And we're so glad that they joined with you guys here. We're thankful for that. Let me ask you a question. Does anybody know, now I have hearing aids on, but I think this contraption that I have on here kind of reminds me of a teeth brace thing here backwards. Does anybody know why Daniel was thrown into the lion's den? What do you think? Okay, he disobeyed the king's decree. Okay, now we got the technical, political answer. What was the decree? What was it that Daniel was doing that caused them to go against us? Exactly right. He broke the law in simple terms. Good. So he broke the law. What did he do that broke the law? Okay, he prayed. Okay, I heard somebody say pray. I heard somebody say worship. How many times a day did he do it? Three times a day. Now, does anybody know what kind of prayer? Is that me making that noise? Okay, it is probably me. Okay, I'm going to get rid of this. And I'll go try to behave myself and stay tight. Okay, so holding on here. I try not to move from the mic. Jim or Sandy, move me back to the center of the mic here, will you, if I move too far away. Is he was giving thanks to the Lord. His custom, his practice was to give thanks to the Lord three times a day. Let me ask you this. Can you think of a time when you consciously took the day and gave thanks to the Lord three times? That's why Daniel, well, it's not against the law yet, so we can thank the Lord for that. But we want to, you can go to the slides. We have the slides? There we are. Good. All right. In the Bible, we see that Jesus, the creator of the world, the sustainer of the world, Psalm says everything in the world and everything in it is his, God's. And it says that he gave thanks seven times. He owned it all. And we find him giving thanks seven times. It's recorded Paul, Pastor Mike mentioned earlier about Paul, over 40 times he speaks about thanksgiving. We're commanded in both the Old and the New Testament in the Bible to give thanks. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, and are you with me, Dan? Are you with me now? I won't worry about the verses because I can't read those references. I get my binoculars next time, so we'll see where they are. Do your best, Dan. Look what it says in Colossians, three verses right in a row. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ, verse 16, dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, like we did this morning, with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Then in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Notice what it says. It says, give thanks in all circumstances. It doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. I was talking earlier to Jack, and I told him when he comes to my mind, because I have a list and I pray for the church. You guys here at Pequot Lakes pray for Mike and Diane and the rest of you, some general, some specific names. Todd and Vicky I pray for, Jim and Sandy, and God brings to my mind to pray for Jack. Now, if Jack 3 years ago had gotten up here and given a testimony and said, oh, I want to thank you for this wonderful circumstance. But it's interesting, even though the hurt, the separation that's there, the reality of that, even this morning he said to me, he said, you know, I'm so thankful for, not for, but I'm thankful because of. And that's what this verse is saying here. In all things. He's not expecting us to give thanks for the fact, oh, my grandmother, she had COVID and she died. Praise the Lord. No, he's not saying, we're not to be silly. You find out you have cancer, you lose a job, somebody gets hurt, a plane crashes in Indonesia, an earthquake in Indonesia. How many knew there was an earthquake in Indonesia? I'm just curious if anybody here knows about, some of you do. Good, okay. That's the island that Mike is going to, actually, where they had that. God is asking us to show our faith and our trust and our confidence in him that he is with us and will go through the circumstance with us, that we have an attitude of gratitude towards him because we acknowledge that he will be with us. He will go through this circumstance. Becoming a Christian does not mean that everything is all okay. We live in a sin-infested, sin-affected world, and bad things happen, and bad things happen as much to Christians as they do to non-Christians. But we have a difference. We have a hope because Jesus Christ, he came and died and paid the price for our sins. And he died and suffered. He knows what it is to suffer. And we want to go be able to do that same kind of thing, even like Jesus, when he knew he was headed to the cross, to be a thankful person. And maybe there's some here this morning, you're going through a circumstance, you're in a situation, you're in a concern, and you're finding it very difficult to be thankful. Or maybe you had a situation in the past, maybe abuse, maybe somebody gave you a promise, and they broke that promise to you. God is not asking you to say, oh, thank the Lord for that. But he is saying is, can you thank the Lord in that? Can you trust me to bring you through this? Or has a root of bitterness built up into your life? I asked, when was the last time you had one day where you can think of you gave thanks three times? When was the last time you actually spoke the name of Jesus?
If we are not grateful people, we cannot be generous people, and we will not share the good news with other people. We will tend to hold on tight. And maybe today God is saying is, no, 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 there's a solution, there's an answer. Follow my commands. I've got a parameter for you. Be thankful in all circumstances. Let's pray. Father, I pray in the next few minutes, Lord, this is so critical to whether the good news is shared here in Pequot Lakes or in London or in Sindh, Pakistan, or with the Muna people in Sulawesi, Indonesia. Lord, we need to be people that are full of gratefulness, thankfulness to you, because the joy of the Lord is what gives us the strength to go through the deep waters, to go through the fires, to take the pain. Lord, help us to understand how we can do that today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have a Bible, turn to Luke chapter 17, verse 11. We're going to have the verses up there. I think we'll have the first ones on there, Luke chapter 17, verse 11. Just want to walk through these verses real quick and take a couple applications from this. This is one of my favorite stories of the Bible and one of Barbara's. She has not seen this message, but she would share it maybe from a different perspective. But we really feel that having an attitude of gratitude, a grateful heart, giving thanks to the Lord is something that God commands us, but he commands it for our good. So can we today give thanks in all circumstances? Luke 17:11 says that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. It says that as he was traveling along, Jesus, interesting, is there was never just doing this thing. There was always something else happening along the way. And he was alert and aware and ready for ministry at any place. It says in Matthew 28:19, as we go, we need to be ready to share the good news and make disciples of people. So it's not just a matter of that we intentionally go. Maybe you have some intentional thing like the sportsman thing once a year. There's an intentional time of gathering people together and celebrate what Jesus has done for us. And yet at the same time, God wants us on a daily basis, as we go, just to speak the name of Jesus. And when our hearts are full of thankfulness for those 10,000 blessings we talked about, sang about earlier, is we can't help but let it flow out of us. Sidebar, that, by the way, our oldest ones, Barbara is saying that their marriage is doing well right now. God is really good. Mercy and Walt are planning to go back to Pakistan. So maybe sometime I'll bring them here too. But their son, Thomas, who's 15-year-old, he was a crack baby. Got him at 18 months with crack baby, who also had cracked bones. He was abused. And so that's why they had to bring him back to get some. He's not special needs, but all of us have special needs. And he needed to be here. He came up to me. We have a really good relationship. I'm teaching him how to drive now. Oh, heaven help me. He's still a kid, 15 and a half years old. He got a new light for his bike. This really bright 900 lumens, whatever, you know. It's got 900 lumens. He's just getting all excited about this thing. I don't do pretend very well. I just said, well, Thomas, that's really cool. Does it work when you ride at nighttime? He says, well, I haven't used it yet on my bike, but look at this light. And I gotta go, okay, well, put it on your bike and then come back to me. So, I'm the grumpy grandpa, I guess. But you know what? He wanted me to know about that because he was so thankful because he was able to earn the money. He bought the light, and now he had the light, and it worked. And now it's on his bike, and it does work. But he wanted to talk about it, but he was thankful because he was able to do that. See, he's a very gracious kid. Where are you with thanksgiving? Let's see what happens here. Verse 12, as he was going into a village, 10 men had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance. Here's a verse for the governor. Here's the first practice of social distancing. Let's go to verse 13. We'll stay away from that one right now. Verse 13, these men called out with a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Notice they called Jesus Master or Lord. They recognized who he was. Jesus at this point had already been doing ministry, had been through this area before, and maybe they knew that he was a miracle worker, that he was healing people, giving sight to the blind, raising the dead, and even people who had demon possession. And they had a physical ailment, neurological, logical, whatever, it affected the nerves. And they needed help. And they had to practice social distancing. That was the law of the Jews. And so from a distance they cry out, and they don't say, "Lord, heal us." They say, "Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us." But notice, they submitted to him as Lord. They called him Master. How about you? Jesus asked this question of Christians, those who are Christians. In Luke, earlier chapter, it's not a verse, Dan. He says in Luke 6:46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" So, what does Jesus say? When Jesus, he saw them, he said, "Go show yourself to the priest." Now, he said, "Go show yourself to the priest," because that's, the priests were sort of like the, you know, the community health department. And you had to get their approval before you could go back and not worry about social distancing. While they had leprosy, I'm sorry, I can't stand still any longer. While they had leprosy, can you hear me back there? I'll come back and in. While they had leprosy, he says, "Go show yourself to the priest." You know, maybe they had marks and fingers missing, whatever was on there. They had a choice to make at that point. They could keep crying out because they had leprosy. They were not healed when Jesus said that. "Go show yourself to the priest." They still had it. They had a choice to make. They could keep on asking Jesus, "Show mercy, show mercy." Or they could say, "You jerk. Oh, what a fun. You're so funny. Go show yourself to the priest. We go to the priest, he's going to take off running. COVID-19 in Heidelberg. Or they can obey. Give thanks. This is the will of God. You know what God's will is that never again there's a complaint. Never again a grumble. Never again. This is, oh man, life is so hard. Asking of us. Because when we're those kind of people, that gives us joy and the ability to easily speak of that true light. The light of the world, Jesus. But if we're not giving thanks, as it says in Psalms, we will not be talking about Jesus to other people. We can sing that song, 10,000 blessings. Don't ask me to say it. Out there. Or to Pakistan. Thank God. Aren't you glad that he hasn't called you to Pakistan? Or to Indonesia? Maybe not on a cold day, but you know, not so thankful. But it says, when they obeyed, it's as they went, they were cleansed. Then what's it say? Verse 15. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God with a loud voice. With a loud voice. Praise means excited boasting. He was excited. He gave thanks to God. He knew that the healing had come from God. He knew, that's why he called him Jesus, Savior, Master. Have mercy on us. He gets healed, and all of a sudden he isn't enthralled with the gift as much as he is with the giver. And he says, "Wow, gee, look what Jesus did." He forgot everything and took off back to Jesus. Where are you? What has he done? And you get Todd. Raised in a Christian home. Or Vicky, you were raised in a Christian home. Pretty much, we'll talk about Jack and everything here. So, some of you were raised in a Christian, my wife, saved at 4 years old, and has followed the Lord
straight through to me when she decided to marry me. And grateful woman. And she shared Jesus. And she recognizes whether you had a terrible, horrible, addictive behavior, you come from a bad background, you've been in jail, whatever the background, God loves you in Jesus. And you've come to him and you've been healed, not just physically, but spiritually and emotionally. He wants us to be thankful for that and show gratefulness by giving exciting boasting, lifting up the name of Jesus. We need to be able to tell people about Jesus, praising him. Look what it says in verse 16. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And it says he was a Samaritan. He was a half-breed. He was an outcast. He wasn't even a full Jew. In fact, the Jews didn't like him. You know other stories in the Bible there. And he was the only one to come back. Verse 17 and 18. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Where are the other 9? Where are you with thanksgiving? Are we 100 people here maybe today? What would Jesus say? Or would Jesus say, where are the other 90? In the 10, the 1, or the 9? Daniel said, I will break the law if that's what's necessary to give thanks to the God of wonder, the God of grace. I will break the law if that's what it takes. But I am going to show my gratitude to God. And I am going to boast of him in public. I will open the window and open the door. I don't care what others might think. And I will praise God. I will give thanks in public to him. Barbara, she said wanderers. That's what she calls people like our daughter. Maybe our granddaughter. We're thankful. Right now at this point, we have our 4 kids. By your prayers and the grace of God, they're following the Lord. But we have a grandkid. But Barb calls them the wanderers. Maybe you have a child or a granddaughter or an aunt or an uncle or a mom or a dad that have wandered from the faith. She prays for them. But she also has other cards. And every month, she as the month goes by, she looks, thinks of the month past, and she writes down things that she's thankful for. And she has cards going back years. In fact, she's written one, she wrote in her Bible. One Bible became so tattered and stuff, but she had been written them all right in the back of her Bible. I bought her a new one, and then we gave the other one away. We forgot to tear out the pages with all the thankfulness, but God knows. I try to give thanks 3 times a day at nighttime. I was telling my son, get into medical things here, but as men get older, maybe women, I don't know, you got to get up more at nighttime. And you know what? I pray 3 times a night. First time, I give thanks to God for just who he is. I don't ask him for things. I just say, thank you, Lord, for what it is. Second time, when I wake up a second time, then I give thanks for my family. I don't make prayer requests because I don't want to stay awake. You know, you start thinking and making solutions. I just say, thank you, Lord. I go through each of the kids. And then the third one, I go and I start thanking people for the church. You got 100 people here. You're surely going to go to sleep before you start counting sheep. So, if you don't know when to give thanks, it's still day at nighttime. So, you know, the Jews counted that's the beginning of the day. Give thanks at nighttime 3 times. Give it a try. It's worth doing. You know, there's a miracle that's greater than the miracle of a healing, a physical healing. It, depending on what translation you read it on, Jesus said in verse 19, he said, make sure I quote this right here. He said, and he said to him, rise, go your way, your faith has made you well. He says, go your way. That's an interesting phraseology that Jesus uses there. So he's now moving out in life, and he says, your faith has made you well. I wonder if this man, when Jesus was saying that, wasn't just his faith. Obviously, the faith, he believed that Jesus could physically heal him. He went to go to the priest. But I believe that we'll see this man in heaven. This man was trusting in Christ. Your faith has made you well. And
for many of us here in this room, we have found that God has made us well because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. And we are so thankful to God. And, you know, one of the reasons why, we're skipping a couple of things, slides, Dan, to Romans 1:21. In Romans 1:20, is he there? Maybe he's there already. But in Romans 1:21, it says that although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but in their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Sometimes we'll say this, you know, if you don't ask Jesus in your heart, you're going to hell. But you know what? There's a lot of people who will be separated forever from God who will have never heard the name of Jesus. Why? How can God send them to hell? It's because of this verse. It tells us that they neither honored God when they saw him in the great creation. How many saw the two stars come together? The Christmas star at the, did you guys get a chance? Anybody see that? December 21st? Yeah, some of you did. Wasn't that wonderful? Just to see that coming close and going farther away. And God, the nature tells us about the wonderful things about God, about who he is. His divine nature, it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, is eternal power. But in chapter verse 21, it says, they neither glorified, they neither gave honor to God, nor gave thanks. People say, how do you know who to talk to about the Lord? Everybody I talk to about the Lord unless they spend some time with me. But if I just meet somebody along the way, how do I know, should I talk to the Lord or not? One of the things I do is that I find a person who's generally grateful as opposed to... I find that people who are a little bit more upbeat and thankful for what they do have, not for what they don't have, are open to hearing about the good news of Jesus Christ. And this verse says, because they don't give thanks, he turns them over and their hearts become darkened. So people will go to be separated from God forever in hell, not because they rejected Jesus. They never got to get to Jesus because they already rejected God. But those of us here in this room, we have come to the place where we've understood. We understand that we have no excuse. We need to recognize there is a God. Have you ever heard this statement? Somebody says this, a disaster happens. You know, say a plane crashes. I just read this illustration earlier this week. A plane crashes, and what do people ask? Three, four word sentence question. Where's God? Where's God in this? Disaster, earthquake in Indonesia, 41 people dead. Where's God in that? How many of those same people do you hear asking about, oh, there's God, the plane landed safely. In fact, 10 planes landed safely. In fact, 100, thousands of planes landed safely today. Praise God! You don't hear people doing that. Some of you are laughing like, I don't know if I would. Well, I don't know if I would either, but it sounded pretty good. The point is this, is people say, where is God when there's a disaster? But they aren't ready to acknowledge God when he's doing his graceful, generous protection of us all the time. He's keeping us from so many things. And we as Christians of all people, because he saved our hearts, we should be quick. But why? Why is that? Maybe you're here today and you're thinking, I'm not very grateful. And I don't understand this. Why is this that I'm like that? I want to be. It says in the Bible that all of us, every one of us here in this room, we're all sinners. We've fallen short of the glory of God. But God still loves us. There's no one in this room. No one in this room should feel excluded. If you're not a member of Pequot Lakes Baptist Church, you don't feel like you're on the outside. You're not a member. You're not a part of this church, but you're here visiting. And it's not our desire that anybody feels outside, but that we all become inside. Well, how do we come inside? Well, it's not through joining a church like Micah said earlier. It's through coming to Christ. So in Romans 5, chapter 8, it says, but God demonstrates his own love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he offers to us a free gift of eternal life, according to Romans 6:23. But that free gift is just like a Christmas gift. If you don't open it up, we have a practice. Okay, maybe we're a little extreme. You know, I got my mask. I got probably two or three on me here.
You know what? When we get the mail, we don't open the mail for 24 hours. Not because our mailman's a Muslim. I've already talked to him about Jesus. Yes, I have. And he's listening. But we don't touch it for 24 hours in case he brings in COVID. And so, but we avoid that, you know, that touching that sort of thing. But is if we don't open that mail, if say there's a check in it, somebody's given us a gift. It's not our gift. It's not ours, really, until we receive it and open it. And you may be here this morning, you say, oh, I know things about Jesus, and that's why I've been coming here. I really enjoy the church and fun people, and I agree with you. But we need to receive Jesus. We need to open the gift. How do we open that gift? It says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. But as many as, if you confess him with your mouth, Jesus as Lord, there's that master, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in with your heart you believe and you are justified, and with the mouth you confess, resulting in salvation. God wants us to be thankful people. But if we haven't experienced his kindness to us, it is very difficult to do. And as maybe some of you who are struggling as followers of Jesus, and you really do love Jesus, and you do want to be thankful, but the circumstance, the situation, as we were talking about earlier, it makes it really hard for you. God says, don't worry, I love you. I love you. But will you trust me? Will you trust me enough to obey me? Like those 10, when he said, go show yourself, they went. They obeyed Jesus. And as they went, they were healed. And you may say, Tom, well, I don't understand this. I don't understand that. It don't act on what you don't understand. I'm going to ask you in about a minute here. We're going to be done in about three. In a minute, I'm going to ask you, if you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus, there's a verse in the Bible, John 1:12, put up on the screen. It says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. What does it mean to receive him? To believe in him, to believe that Jesus died and paid the price, to believe that he will come inside you. Look what it says in Revelation 3:20. Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come into him and dine with him. Before we came to Pequot Lakes, I was alcoholic. I was an angry person, and I felt very much alone. And one night, a guy said to me, you need a change. You need to ask Jesus into your heart. And that night, I heard that Jesus was knocking. And I opened the door to my life, and it made a transformation that began with the alcohol leaving immediately. The drugs 6 months later, the bad language longer. The anger, well, I would say I don't get angry anymore, but I think I see my wife sitting back there, and she would tell you the truth. But you know what? I don't get as mad as often as I used to, and I don't get as mad as strong as I used to. The intensity, I'm getting better by the grace of God. And if you would like that, you need to open the gift and trust in him today. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for each one that's here today. And Lord, I first want to thank you for my brothers and sisters. I thank you for my brothers and sisters that I've known for 45 years. Lord, what a joy it is to be here and share together in your word. But I realize, Lord, that there may be some of my brothers and sisters who, as we said earlier, maybe are struggling with an anger issue because of a circumstance that happened years ago when that person lied or stole or abused. And they found it hard to say, thank you, Jesus. And yet, Lord, you said for our benefit to give thanks in all circumstances. And maybe you're here this morning, you're saying, as Tom, I want to be a thankful person. I want to be a grateful person. I want to be a Daniel. I want to dare to be a Daniel. I want to say thank you to the Lord. I want to excitingly boast of gratefulness 3 times a day, at least. I want to do that. And by God's grace, Lord, I need your help.
If you're here this morning and that's you, and you want to do that, I would like to pray for you. Not by name. If I know your name, I won't call your name out. But right where you are, just slip your hand up and say to God, you're showing him physically, saying, I want to be a thankful person, Lord. I don't want to be filled with bitterness and anger. I want to be grateful. Okay. You can put your hand down. Anyone else? Okay. You can put your hand down. Some others, maybe I missed in the back. Go ahead. You can put your hand down. Anyone else? Anyone else? Okay. You can put your hand down. Lord, I want to pray for these, my brothers and sisters. Lord, I want to pray for myself. Lord, I admit there's some nights. I didn't last night. I was up three times, and I knew I was going to be preaching today. So I gave thanks three times. But Lord, there are nights I forget. Help me, Lord, to be a more thankful, gracious, grateful, generous, gospel-giving person. And pray for these, my brothers and sisters, that raise their hand. Now, before I close, perhaps there's someone here this morning, and like I said, you know you want to have Jesus a part of your life, and you want to be a part of the family of God. You want to be a thankful person, but you've never asked Jesus in your heart. Jesus is saying, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice, I'll open the door and come in. You open the door and I'll come in. Will you open the door to your heart to Jesus? Will you trust him right now? If that's your desire, your prayer, I'd like to pray for you. Just slip your hand up, make sure I see you. And I'd just like to pray for you. Anyone at all, you've never trusted Christ, but this morning you'd like to ask Jesus into your heart. Raise your hand so that I see it. Anyone at all? I don't see a hand, so if you're raising your hand, you better flash it, because I don't see it. Let's pray. Father, I didn't see any hands, but Lord, you know our hearts. And maybe there's someone here, Lord, that they're saying is, I'm not sure. I wasn't sure when that guy said, you need to ask Jesus in your heart. I went home. And when I went home, I trusted in you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help them. I pray you'd help them to keep coming here to church. Keep hearing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. On the slide, there's a slide with a little booklet. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ, oh, the other one on this other set of slides. There you are. Oh, you were there, white book. There's a booklet that Barbara and I have put together. And if you've never trusted Christ and you'd like to have one, we brought a couple of those along. Be glad to give you. We're going to be at the table back there. Maybe after we've been to the donuts, but we will be around here this morning. Thanks. Priorities. This one? No. This one?
Amazing grace, how sweet.
Encourage you to come. If you want to join our fellowship, Jim and Sandy are not members of our church yet, but thank you, Tom. If you would like to be members, we'd love to have you be members of our fellowship. And others, too, who are here that are not members but would like to be members of our fellowship, we would like to have you come. And just come up here and shake my hand and say, Pastor, I want to be part of this army. I want to be part of the army of the Pequot Lakes Baptist Church. We want to get going here. And so if you want to be part with us, won't you come? And again, if you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, and he's on the outside of your life knocking to come in, then won't you come? You just come up, shake my hand, and say, Pastor, I need to know about Jesus. I'll send you over and see Tom. And then he can tell you and sit down with you, and he will sit down with you. He's a great soul winner. He will sit down with you and share with you the gospel if you'll just come. If there's something else the Lord has laid on your heart, won't you come? As we sing this last verse, you come as we're singing. All right, let's sing.